Chapter 2. Clatooine. For several successful jobs and a few standard months, Din got his wish. But good luck always ran out eventually. Din sat in a darkened corner of what may very well have been the seediest cantina in Hutt space, and that was saying something. The yellow light of the lamps around the bar flickered and cast the room in a sickly hue. Loud, gritty rock music thrummed from the live performers across the room, almost, but not quite, drowning out the hodgepodge of languages. Mostly Huttese, but Din caught snatches of basic Clatoonian and Shiriwuk. Din wished he could say that no one spared him a glance, but his helmet's distinctive shine never failed to draw unwelcome eyes. A waiter attempted to offer him a drink, and then death sticks, but he politely declined. He wasn't on Clatooine to relax. He was here for his next bounty. Din turned the puck over in his hand before flipping on its tiny holoprojector. The scowling face of a Weequay pirate flickered to life. Her tracking fob was beeping in Din's pocket. She was close. He just hadn't spotted her yet. He watched patrons mill around, some clustered by the bar, others near the small stage where the band played. Din's eyes roamed across a group of Beeth, some Clatoonians, a red-haired human wearing a garish pink poncho. Wait. Poncho. It couldn't be. It wasn't often that Din ran into the same people twice, particularly people who managed to show him up so spectacularly. Din leaned forward. Yeah, it was definitely the same man. Poncho was leaning up against the wall, watching the band, his foot tapping idly in time to the song. It was too dark and there was too much distance for Din to make out his features, but the thick ginger hair was the same, and Din come across many humans who were willing to wear a poncho. Which begged the question, what was he doing here? Was it a coincidence? Was he after Din's bounty again? Din was so wrapped up in his wondering that he almost missed the Weequay pirate enter the cantina, spot him immediately, and turn on her heel to leave. Din shot up from his seat to catch her. All thoughts of Poncho rushed out of his head by the task at hand. He didn't see the green eyes that followed him with vague interest as he left. The bounty hunter pursued the pirate through the moonlit alleys of the desert town, his visor easily identifying her deep footprints in the fine sand. He'd almost caught up with her on the outskirts, according to the heat signature readouts and the incessant beeping of the tracking fob. Din picked up his pace, drawing his pistol and checking its charges. Outside the main street, the town was silent at night. It would be a quick, clean disarming, and she'd be in carbonite before the sun rose. Or it would have been if he hadn't darted around a corner and straight into a solid form. His helmet knocked against a higher chin. When Din instinctively grabbed the person he'd hit, his hands closed on pink fabric. Oh, for Criff's sake! Ow, watch where you're... Poncho cut himself off with an oof as Din shoved him forcefully against the mud wall of the nearest house, blaster leveled at his chest. Hey, you ran into me, my shiny-headed friend. Up this close, Din could see the heavy brow and full lips, as well as a generous smattering of facial scars, discolored by his visor's night vision. Poncho looked older than Din had first estimated. They were probably about the same age. Stop following me, Din snapped. I'm not following you. Yes, you are. You were on Cal Shabal. You stole my bounty, and now you're here. Coincidence. I don't know anything about you, man. Well, besides the fact that you're a Mandalorian bounty hunter, because that's pretty obvious. Despite Poncho's indignant words, there was no fear in his eyes. That was a first among people Din had held at gunpoint. In fact, he seemed almost unnervingly tranquil. Din considered. He couldn't imagine choosing to get between a bounty hunter and their prey just out of some misguided sense of righteousness. But people could be strange about such things. So are you going to let me go, or are you going to continue to get in my way? Maybe I should just kill you now. Ouch! Din felt a stab of an electric shock in his ankle. He looked down to see a small droid, a BD unit, trying to take another stab at his leg. Din kicked it aside. He didn't need to know binary to decipher the furious beep in his general direction as it righted itself. Don't kick BD. He was just trying to help. Are you okay, buddy? Beep, beep, chirp. The droid gestured sharply at Din with an articulated foot. I know, don't worry, he won't hurt me. You don't know that, Din interjected evenly, prodding the other man's chest with the barrel of his blaster. Poncho heaved an exaggerated sigh, then looked thoughtful for a moment, staring over Din's shoulder. Your target's heading east towards the scrapyards. You can cut her off if you make a left after the third home on this row. Head straight till you hit the vaporators. Why are you telling me this? Better hurry, Poncho replied with a small smile. Din released his fistful of Poncho material and backed away slowly. After they turned their separate ways, Din glanced back to see the BD droid launch itself up and scuttle onto Poncho's shoulder, who reached up to delicately adjust one of the droid's antennae. Miraculously, Din still found himself installing one pirate in carbonite before breakfast the next morning. Poncho's bizarre information had been good. He'd cut off the Weequay as she passed the vaporators. She'd put up a fight, but ultimately been no match for a Mandalorian. As he began the Razor Crest's launch routine, he thought about the strange night he'd had. It occurred to him that Poncho, who'd handed Din his own shebs in hand-to-hand combat not that long ago, could easily have escaped when Din had him trapped. Maybe he'd been caught off guard, but the man seemed way too level-headed, let alone experienced, if the scars were anything to go by, to have been thrown off by such a straightforward attack. No, it was much more likely that he'd allowed himself to be caught. If that was true, it raised far more questions than it answered. Din guided the Razor Crest out of Clantooine's upper atmosphere and began plotting his next course.